This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're the Home Secretary. You're meant to be looking after your people, the Home Secretary, and you're coming out with Fox News trash. No go areas. Brother, have you ever been to any of our areas? Show me, I challenge you, show me one no-go area within the Muslim community. Show me one.
والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Brothers, elders, sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. I thought today I'd touch on a topic which has been kind of lurking within our community for a while. And at the outset, I want to make something very clear that, look, the endeavor here is not to trivialize the suffering or the torment of anybody. And the topic is the grooming gangs. So the so-called Muslim grooming gangs. And obviously these girls have been through horrific abuse and exploitation. But what I want to do is I want to put a narrative straight. And the narrative is very important. Is that, does Islam actually have anything to do with these grooming gangs? Because often we hear that they are called Muslim grooming gangs. Or occasionally they're called Asian grooming gangs. And this is exploited by people to their own ends. You know, the right wing, the far right will say, look, see, the Muslims are a problem. The Muslims won't integrate. And because they won't integrate, we have all these issues with the Muslim community. And therefore, it leads to other things. So this is a topic which we just heard recently after the Huddersfield arrests, that there were Asian grooming gangs. Some of them referred to them as Muslim grooming gangs. Now, what we would argue is that they have nothing to do with our religion. Actually, they are the furthest thing from our religion. What were these individuals, these Pakistani, Asian, Bengali, Indian, Afghani, whatever background they came from, what were they accused of? They were accused of exploitation, abuse, plying these girls with alcohol and drugs, illicit relationships, rape, and at times even pimping. As Muslims, what we would say that every single one of these things actually is a crime within our religion. If it's a crime within our religion, then how can this have anything to do with our religion? So let's start with the issue of abuse and exploitation. So they abused these young girls, and understand that these girls were underage. They were under the age of 16. So they abused these girls. So how did they abuse them? You know, in many forms. But what does the religion, the deen of Islam, say about abuse? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a narration related by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the Messenger of Allah said, "Da'watul mazlum walau kana kafirin, walau kana kafirin, laysa dunaha hijab." That the call and the dua of an oppressed person, even if he is a disbeliever, it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no veil between that dua and that cry of that person, between that person's cry and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the interesting thing in this narration is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Walau kana kafirin." Even if that person is a disbeliever, but the person is exploited, the person is oppressed, when they make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may not even believe in Allah. This is ajeeb. They don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua. So how can this have anything to do with our religion? Imam Bukhari has related a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting down, and a janaza went past, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up for the janaza. And the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, that's not the janaza of a Muslim. That's the janaza of a Jew. What are you standing up for? And the Messenger of Allah said, Alaysat nafsan? Isn't that a soul as well? Isn't that a human being as well? This person died on kufr. What was between him and that person? Allah is between that person and Allah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was showing this ummah that this person died on kufr. And we should show the dead respect. Then what about those who are alive? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس. On that day when each one of us will need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their mercy on the day of judgment, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will not show any of these individuals mercy who did not show mercy to other people. The words that the Messenger of Allah said, he didn't say that the person who shows mercy to another Muslim, he said, An-nas. Muslims or non-Muslims, everybody, every single individual, if you do not show that person mercy in this dunya, then on the day of judgment, when the entirety of humanity will be there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not show you mercy. So abuse and exploitation has nothing to do with our religion. And there are so many other narrations. Okay, what about the plying these girls with drugs, with alcohol? The Messenger of Allah said about intoxicants, he said regarding khamar, intoxication, he said, Ummul khaba'ith. He said, intoxications are the mother of all evils. Because when a person is intoxicated, he'll do things that he never will do before. How many a woman get battered at home because of the fact that the husband is intoxicated? How many a crime is perpetrated because a person is intoxicated? The Messenger of Allah called it the mother of all evil. The amazing, amazing thing about this religion is this, I tell you. We, our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the only man in history who managed to eradicate alcohol from his community. No man before him, no man after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed to do this. So how can you say that this has anything to do with our religion? They plied them with alcohol and drugs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just curse the person who drinks the alcohol. The Messenger of Allah cursed 10 people who are involved in alcohol. And so what about when you're distributing it to other people? Haram within our religion. So then they say, oh, these people, they had illicit relationships with these girls. They raped them on certain occasions, and they even pimped them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا تقربوا الزنا. Do not come close to committing zina. Zina, Allah doesn't say, don't perpetrate, don't commit zina. Allah says, do not even come close to zina. Meaning anything which is a means of you doing zina, touching, looking, talking, which can possibly lead you to committing to zina, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it haram. So then how can any of these things have anything to do with our religion? There is no connection. You know, this is the irony. I'll tell you the irony. On one front, you will say to us, you know, Muslims, you're too sexually conservative. You know, you don't shake hands with the opposite gender. Men don't shake hands with women. Women don't shake hands with men. You know, you don't even allow a peck on the cheek or a little hug. Your women want to dress up. You won't wear the bikinis. That's on one front. You say you're too sexually conservative. On the other front, when it suits you, you know, you are hyper-sexualized beasts. And both of them originate from your religion. Both of them, you will rape, you will illicit in the name of Islam. And on the other front, you won't even shake hands with the opposite gender. And that's also propelled by your religion. Listen, you can't have it both ways. Make up your mind. And this is the kind of the predicament that Muslims are always in. You know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. In reality, we don't give a damn what you think. Because we know what the reality is. You know, after the Rotherham scandal, one of the things which is really interesting, well, what they said, is they said, oh, you know why the police and the social workers and the council, they said, you know why we didn't bring it up? It's because we were taking into consideration cultural sensitivities. Meaning that we didn't want to be known as racists. We didn't want to be known as Islamophobes. So this is why we knew it was going on, but because the perpetrators were Muslims and because they were Asians, we didn't really want to make a big issue out of it. You know, really, wallahi, this one really made me laugh. Whenever you get something wrong, you deflect the responsibility onto the minorities and today onto the Muslims. What, you were concerned about our cultural sensitivities? We are the very same people for every positive media report on the Muslims. We have 27 which are negative. Lancaster University. It's 75% less chance of us getting a job compared to our white counterpart, Bristol University. Whenever your politicians have a bad day and they want cheap political votes, what do they say? They start cussing the Muslims. Your institutions, Ofsted and others, are politicized against the Muslims. On every single front, you're happy to blame us for everything. And then on the other hand, when it suits you, say, oh no, we didn't want to make it a scandal. We didn't want to. We knew. The police say we knew they were Muslims and they were Asians, but we were taking into consideration cultural sensitivities. Now, if that is the case, listen to this. When some of these cases were paedophiles, some of them were rape, some of them were pimping. When did cultural sensitivities ever stopping a rapist from doing what he's doing? A paedophile from doing what he was doing? You know, they had the J report after this, by Dr. J. She did a report. She gave 14 recommendations. All of them were to do with the institutes, the police, the council, the social services. Not one of them were to do with race. Now, when you read the reports in the media, you think that it's only Muslims doing it. Only Muslim gangs are out there. It's only the Muslims who are the paedophiles. They're the ones who exploit white girls. Firstly, Dr. J mentioned that it wasn't just white girls they were exploiting. They were actually exploiting Asian girls as well. But there's a taboo within the community. She says, we will never know how many Asian girls were exploited, but they were exploited because there's a taboo in the community and they will not come out and say it openly. But everybody, you remember the Rotherham and the Rochdale, you know, you remember the media pieces, Muslim grooming gangs, Asian grooming gangs. The Independent came out with a headline the next day. They said, we need a national debate on Muslim grooming. La ilaha illallah. Like if it had anything to do with our religion. We need a debate on national grooming. Now, let me tell you the statistics of the grooming or of the paedophiles in Rotherham. 68% were white, 24% were Asian, 8% were BME, and 3% were female. Now, this is still a high proportion for the Asians, but not one news media picked up upon this report. Not one. Why? Because you have an agenda to frame the Muslims. Have you ever, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a Christian grooming gang? Have they ever mentioned Christian grooming gang? Never have I ever seen a Christian paedophile says Christian paedophile, white paedophile. But you see Asian paedophiles, Muslim paedophiles. Why do you bring the religion into it? And I'll deal with this later on. Because there is an agenda there. So 68%. I remember reading the report. Wallahi, it seemed like every single paedophile in Rotherham was a Muslim. The vast majority of paedophilia is done one-on-one. One-on-one. Not grooming gangs. One-on-one. The vast majority of victims are one-on-one. You know the vast majority. And I don't want to make this a race issue. I just want to state the facts. Because, you know, you're too easy to demonize us. The vast majority of paedophiles are white. Are white. The white community in this country is approximately 86%. The Crown Prosecution recorded that 80 to 90% of the paedophiles are actually white. 80 to 90. So why is there no public outcry? Why aren't we having national debates on the fact that there's a problem within the white community? Because I don't believe there's a problem. But what's good for the geese is good for the gander. If you want to demonize the Muslim community that they're a bunch of paedophiles, that it's got something to do with our religion, then let's have this national debate. And this is the problem, see, with the Muslim community. That you actually begin internalizing. You actually begin to actually believe what's being said. Every day, you know, you have these reports. Oh, Muslim paedophile gangs, Muslims doing this, Muslims perpetrating this. It has nothing to do with our religion. I'll tell you where the problem lies. And I am not exonerating anybody from it. The problem lies with men. The vast majority of people, literally all paedophiles are men. Literally all. Not because they're Muslims, not because of the white, because of the way they perceive the other, the children. And with the Asians, and generally, not just with Asians specifically, it's the way you treat, that way you perceive women. Because the way that you perceive women, then it justifies it for you. For others, it's the way you perceive children. And it justifies you. But why is there no national call on this? Why is it always an issue when it's Muslims? So we have this guy, this home secretary, yeah? Sajid Javid. Let me read his tweet. After the Huddersfield arrest, let me read his tweet. He says, these sick Asian paedophiles are finally facing justice. I want to commend the bravery of the victims. So these sick Asian paedophiles are finally facing justice. What has Asian got to do with it? And I honestly believe that this guy would have possibly mentioned Muslim, but because the ringleader was a Sikh, he couldn't mention that. The rest were Muslims, but he mentioned that these sick Asians. Why are you racializing it? Let me just give you a bit of background regarding Sajid Javid. Sajid Javid is our Home Secretary, Conservative Party cabinet member. All his early political life, he tried to distance himself from the Muslim community. So when he was asked, he said, I come from Pakistani Muslim heritage. I was brought up believing in God, but I don't practice any religion. Now, it's a strong possibility. When he said, I don't practice any religion, I said, why is he saying any religion? Normally you would say, I don't practice Islam. I don't practice my religion. He said, I don't practice any religion. He said, well, my wife is a practicing Christian and the only religion in my house which is practice Christianity. Okay? When he was asked, what was your favorite place other than the UK? Where would you like to live? He said, Israel. Israeli lobby strong. See, there have only been two Muslims ever in the cabinet, in the Conservative cabinet. Saida Warsi and Sajid Javid. Saida Warsi resigned because of the Palestinian issue. And this guy remained where he was because he loves Israel. And then he comes out with this tweet. You know, Ajib, listen to this. Then he says, I want to commend the bravery of these victims. It's really interesting. When did this happen? All this grooming, all this paedophilia happened under your watch, your government's watch, your police institutes, your council institutes. The blame lies with you. Why are you passing the buck on us for? Why didn't you ever tweet that 80 to 90% of paedophilia is committed by white people? Why? Because you're an Uncle Tom. And you know what Uncle Tom is? It's not a racial slur. You know what Uncle Tom is? Uncle Tom is he who will serve his political masters at the expense of his own community. All your life you said that you had nothing to do with Islam, you don't practice Islam. Then when the Grenfell Tower issue happened, and the first time I saw him, oh yeah, I'm a Muslim because the Muslims were afflicted. Now you went to Pakistan, all of a sudden when you reach where you wanted to reach, you refine your identity. But listen to this. Then he goes at the end of his tweet, not on my watch, there will be no go areas. There will be no-go areas. La ilaha illallah, this is Fox News trash. You're the Home Secretary. You're meant to be looking out for your people, the Home Secretary, and you're coming out with Fox News trash. No-go areas. Brother, have you ever been to any of our areas? Show me, I challenge you. Show me one no-go area within the Muslim community. Show me one. You know why? Let me tell you. You know why people play identity politics? I'll tell you why they play it. Only time ever you play identity politics, you have a crime and then you mention the ethnicity or the religion of those people. Only one time when you want to criminalize those people. When you want to criminalize those people, that is the only time you will use it. They normally use identity politics at the time of war. At the time of war. See, when you say he's a Muslim, it's a Muslim grooming gang, what you are saying is not, what you are saying that these Muslims are the enemies of the wider community. They're not like the rest. They can't integrate. They groom white girls, your white girl, which is a lie in the first place. Because if you look at paedophiles, the vast majority of paedophiles are white. And this is where identity politics lies. This is why people use identity politics. And as Muslims, you know, we need to be a bit deeper than we are. We look at these things and we start feeling embarrassed. And finally, I want to address the issue with the Muslims. The Muslim groomers. Not because Islam has anything to do with this, but because these people happen to be Muslims. I say, wallahi, I can't understand. Let alone a Muslim, how any human being could sink to this level. You ply these girls with alcohol, with drugs, you rape them, you pimp them, you have illicit relationships, and then you, the very same people, will go home to your daughters, to your sisters, to your wives, like you're some honorable individuals. The message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-dhulm, dhulamatun yawm al-qiyamah. He said, the dhulam that you perpetrate in this dunya, on the day of judgment, it will be darknesses for you. You will see that it will be darkness. Any dhulam that you perpetrate, the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma inni uharriju haqq al-za'ifayn, al-yateem wal-mar'a. He said, I will ensure that I enforce the right of two weak people, vulnerable people. You know, wallahi, the vast majority of these girls, if you see, they were vulnerable girls. They stayed in homes. They had mental health problems. And by the time these degenerates finished with them, they were scarred for the rest of their life. Don't you have any daughters? Don't you have any sisters? Don't you have a mother? When the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, young man, and he said, oh, Messenger of Allah, give me permission to commit zina. The Messenger of Allah, subhanAllah, said, come closer. This is the most close, this is most clean of beings. And this young man wants to perpetrate a vile action And the Messenger of Allah said, "Udnu minni," he said, "come closer." He said, "Oh my son, don't you have a mother?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Would you like others to do zina with your mother?" He said, "Don't you have a sister?" He said, "Would you like others to do zina with your sister? Would you like anybody, because wallahi, any of these girls could have been mine, your daughter. Would you like anybody to apply drugs to your daughter? To give them drugs and then rape them?" And the Messenger of Allah said, "I will look after the yatim and the woman, because they were the vulnerable in the community." You all heard that hadith where the Prophet ﷺ spoke about that woman. He said that the woman, she deprived a cat. She locked up a cat, left the cat starving. She left it starving until the cat died. The Prophet ﷺ, that this woman is destined for the fire of Jahannam. Why did the Messenger of Allah give example of a cat? He could have given example of another human being. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah wanted to show us that if this is the dhulam that you do on a cat and Allah will give you Jahannam, then what about other human beings? What about other human beings? Wallahi, you know, it's sad that we even have to speak about these issues. You go home to your family, your children and your wife, and you have done this. And this is why, brothers and sisters, listen to me. And I'm not saying this, I ain't no Uncle Tom. I'm not saying this because they want us to say this. It's an obligation if we see a crime like this perpetrated against children, that we stop it or we inform the authorities. The Messenger of Allah said, "Whoever sees an evil from amongst you, then stop it with his hands." And if you are unable to stop it, then the next people who can stop it with their hands is the authorities. It's haram. Zulam. Allah defines us in the Quran as kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best, you are the best of ummah. Who? Allah says, taken out for who? Not for the Muslims, not for the Arabs. You know, I love this argument they keep presenting. They say that this is a Muslim problem, Muslim grooming gang. Then I ask you a question. If it's a Muslim grooming gang, then where are the Africans in the grooming gangs? If it's a Muslim problem, where are the Africans? Where are the Arabs? If Islam is the thing that propels these people, then where is the Arabs? Where is the African? Where is the Malaysians? Where are the Indonesians? It's got nothing to do with Islam. I tell you where only connection has got to do with Islam is in the figment of your demented imagination. That's it. Nowhere else. And therefore, brothers, Allah has defined this ummah, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people taken out for the benefit of humanity. Humanity should see your khair. And we have people of our ummah doing things like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to realize our purpose. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide these individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to retain our glorious heritage. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.